Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 316, recorded on December 30th, 2016. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I am all right, and how are you doing?
I'm good. Just awesome. Got back from the frozen wasteland that is the Midwest, and I'm back in California, so everything is awesome.
Excellent. And, you know, it's interesting how where you are impacts how you perceive the snow, because you talk about the frozen wasteland. I spent the weekend in Steamboat Springs. That's where my brother lives. And so we were skiing all weekend. So for me, it was a magical winter wonderland.
That does sound pretty magical. I think part of
it was pretty magical.
You could also say that the footwear that you own can also affect you. Your happiness in
that has a huge impact snow. On your happiness in the snow.
Because I don't really have anything that's supposed to be in the snow.
Oh yeah, and I was wearing Gore-Tex boots or ski boots, depending on what I was doing at the time.
You'll be happy in the snow. You won't be worried about ruining your shoes.
Yeah, I was happy in the snow.
Awesome, but I did get to see a bunch of friends, so that's great.
Okay. That's really cool.
I didn't get to see Barry though. I tried to make it happen.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, he has to come here, so. All right, AirPods. We have a lot to talk about AirPods. So the in-store pickup tool is now on Apple's site. So you can actually go and see how long it's going to be until you can buy one in advance and pick it up at the store. Right now it's into February.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty awesome.
I'm guessing you'll probably still have better luck if you just go into the store, wait there when it opens.
Right. And if you know when they get their afternoon shipments, be around for that too.
Yeah. Best Buy and Verizon are allegedly getting some periodically. Do you know if that's, I wasn't clear if that's something where you go into the store and they have them or if you can order them.
I think you have to go in the store to get them. Well, actually, no, wait a second. I think I'm wrong. I think the only way to get them is to order them.
I think you have to order them. That was my impression.
Yep.
However, although it does take a long time to pre-order them and all of that stuff, the people who did order them, you know, 5 minutes after they went up, and they were delayed into January and that sort of thing, it seems like most of those orders are coming in early.
Yeah, which is a pleasant surprise. I call that the Scotty principle.
It is, yeah.
You under-promise and over-deliver.
Yeah. So, for example, an order that was scheduled to be delivered January 12th was delivered December 28th. So there are happy AirPod owners out there. So that's good. I think we were kind of expecting that to happen, though. Apple typically does that with these sorts of things.
Yeah, this is pretty common for them. And then there's also the news that the company making the AirPods for Apple, they've been working overtime and they're ramping up their production capacity.
Yeah.
Don't meet demand. So I'm sure that's helping too.
Yeah.
And just jump ahead?
No, that's fine.
In the list?
There is no list.
Oh, great. Great.
This is just a list of things to make sure I get to. So the order doesn't matter. But yeah, so Inventec, they are increasing their production capacity and working overtime, just working as hard as they possibly can. Tim Cook has actually mentioned, I think he was doing a tour of Wall Street or the stock exchange, which is kind of weird, with his nephew. So I guess it's a former, was he I want to say CTO. He wasn't, he was the COO.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I guess that's how a COO, has fun over the holidays as he goes to the stock exchange.
Go hang out at the stock exchange.
Yeah.
Man, I'm totally doing it wrong then, going and spending several days in the mountains.
No, you did it right. That's what you're supposed to do.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, but you have to have AirPods in order to do it the right way.
And that's my problem. I don't have AirPods.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, he said that the AirPods, Apple has been enjoying a great holiday season and that the AirPods are, quote, a runaway success. And I kind of believe it. It seems like they're selling well when they can. People are getting them where they can. And the people who are getting them are enjoying them a lot. I've been enjoying my AirPods.
You know, I think I would really enjoy AirPods a lot if they were comfortable in my ears. But since it's the same shape as the EarPods, which are not comfortable for me, I can't really keep them in my ears, there's no point in me even bothering with AirPods.
Yeah. So I have my confession now. And I was kind of anticipating this. I didn't talk about AirPods last show. We did, actually, because the last time I talked about AirPods, I was on your show and Adam's show.
Right. Yeah. You came on to Daily Observations and told me what you thought about AirPods.
Yeah. Okay.
That was really cool. Thanks.
So for our listeners, I got them Monday morning, last Monday. Waited in line. I was the last person in town to get them. And the features are great. The pairing is flawless. Using them is pretty nice. They, switching between devices and all that stuff is very seamless. The only bummer is that to switch between them, you don't have to go into Bluetooth settings because of the W1 chip. You just go into Control Center and select them on whatever device you want. Or on your Mac, you go click on the little speaker icon in your status bar and just select them. The only device that I have that doesn't do that is the Apple TV. And it's kind of a bummer. You can pair them manually as you would with any other Bluetooth transmitting device, like a Samsung phone or that sort of thing. So they will work. They just don't have the magic switchy thing to them.
Which is really unfortunate.
Yeah, but you know, I haven't had to really worry about it at all yet. Hasn't been an issue for me.
But yeah, I guess the first time you've walked through pairing them with your Apple TV, then you're just done. So you pop them in your ears and and it just works with Apple TV? Or do you still have to go and select them as the output?
You have to select them in Bluetooth settings. But I've literally not once wanted to use them with any Bluetooth headphones with my Apple TV. I just want to use the speakers. And that's kind of been the way it has been with my Apple TV. So it's not a huge deal. Yeah, battery life has been good. I did manage to use them on a plane going to and from Chicago. I was very conscious of the battery life, but I didn't have any issues. So I had a flight from San Luis to Phoenix, which was about an hour and some change, and then went to another plane from Phoenix to O'Hare. And I definitely put them in the charging case in between those two flights, but on the long leg, I had no problem, which is very nice.
Okay.
And I pretty much use them totally. I haven't actually run into a situation where I have used them and the battery has gone down. So I don't know what actually happens when the battery runs out on the AirPods, if it makes some kind of charming Apple low battery noise or something, but...
Or if the music is just suddenly gone.
Yeah, who knows? One other interesting thing, the charging case, it will not transmit the charging case battery capacity or battery life unless at least one of the AirPods is in the case. So it seems like
it's probably using Bluetooth from the AirPods to communicate.
That's what I would
doesn't
think.
Have its own Bluetooth.
And yeah, it doesn't have its own Bluetooth. And I'm thinking the little contact point in the case also transmits that information, which is pretty slick.
That is slick.
Yeah. And I love the charging case is great. The only thing I noticed is that it does have a slight tendency to slip out of a pocket. So I've had to figure out where I keep it.
But. So someone's going to start making AirPod charging case skins to give them a little more friction.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. It'd be interesting if they had made it out of a silicone or something like that. But so ultimately, though, as I've said before, my ears are not the right shape for air or ear pods, as it turns out. They do
fit. I feel your pain.
They do fit. They sit in there. They work pretty well. I have gone to the gym, done a full workout. I've gone out jogging. I have laid down with them in bed. I have done all the things that I have done with my Jaybirds, my Blue Buds. And as much as I love these things and I was fully prepared to keep them and love them forever, and the features are awesome, I think I'm gonna return them because they just don't stay in well enough. I spend a lot of time pushing them back in my ears, and I did a tiny bit of bike riding with them, and I didn't anticipate this, but you do absorb a lot of vibration in your body when you're on a bike, and I actually have shocks on my bike. It's a mountain bike, and even then, and just riding on the road, they jiggle, and I'm worried that they're gonna pop out. They loosen.
Okay, just for reference, is your mountain bike a hardtail? Do you have a shock that's in the middle of the bike?
No.
Okay, so it would be a hardtail.
Yeah.
Here's where I'm going with this. I'm curious if that vibration would be less of an issue for someone that has a full suspension mountain bike.
Yeah, I don't know.
But still, if they don't fit in your ears well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think ultimately the issue is my ears, because people who have the right shaped ears, these things work great. And they have definitely been an improvement. They are most certainly an improvement over the ear pods, because they don't have the wire. The ear pods are garbage in my ears. And speaking of garbage, the sound is not garbage. The sound has been great in these things. Like I said, everything but the fit has been great. So my recommendation is, if the EarPods fit in your ears and you're thinking about getting the AirPods, highly recommended. These are one of the best Bluetooth headphones I've used. There are downsides, like lack of control, but the fact that there's no wire between them and you get the charging case, that just kicks butt.
Yeah, I really, really love the idea of the AirPods. And I really wish that they were a design that fit well in my ears.
Yeah. Yep. It'll be sad. I think I'm going to use them until the last day that I can return them. But I think they're going back, unfortunately. And it was, to be honest, I used the Jaybirds. I went back to my Jaybirds when I went to the gym the other day, and it was much nicer. I was way less stressed out about them. So I think that's a good indication.
Okay, well that's important.
Yeah.
And now I can't even remember. Did you say how the audio quality compared to the Jaybirds?
I haven't done A/B testing with them. But I would say they are pretty comparable. The Jaybirds do offer more isolation because they're in-ear, whereas the these are, you know, buds. And I think I got a little more volume out of the AirPods. I recall doing okay. that. But like I said, I have not done side-by-side testing, so it may not be worth it for me to say much.
All right. It's, you know, if it was something where you put the Jaybirds back in your ears and we're like, oh, holy crap, this is a huge sound difference, then that would be something. But yeah. if it's something where you need to go and do A/B testing to really tell, then it probably doesn't matter.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it does. There are other good things that we've learned about. So there's a little hidden Apple Watch interface for seeing the charge state on the AirPods, and this is pretty cool. So when you swipe up in your watch's control center and you hit the little power indicator, if you are using the AirPods with your phone or your watch, you'll get a little individual bud battery life indicator on your watch. It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
And of course, if you pair your, if you have the AirPods selected on your watch currently and you get a phone call, you can answer through your AirPods on there. It's a neat little icon. More interestingly,
that's very cool.
Yeah, they've gone through some durability testing. You know, people on YouTube, they've dropped them from various heights and have been surviving all of those. They put them through a load of laundry, washing and drying, no problem there. And then they even exposed it to a 5-minute submersion under a foot of water, and they worked perfectly, no problem.
Oh, great. So if you're one of those people that tends to drop your AirPods and they fall in a puddle, you can put them back in your ear. Just make sure to dry them off first so your ear's not wet.
Yeah. iFixit did their teardown, which is pretty cool. I didn't mention on this show, but I was I was in line with the iFixit guy, buying the AirPods for iFixit, which was pretty fun.
And that is cool.
So they did their teardown, lots of glue. They gave it a 0 out of 10 repairability, which is not too unexpected, to be honest.
Yeah, people that are complaining about the 0 for repairability, seriously, what earpods do you have, earbuds, whatever, from any company that are repairable? I mean, they work or they don't. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, for me, the teardown from iFixit really wasn't about whether or not you could do anything to repair them if they break. It was to get a look at the technology Apple packed in those.
Yes, and it is a lot. It's a lot of technology and a lot of glue.
Which
and apparently makes it very
so
waterproof.
Much stuff packed into such a tiny space.
Yeah, the little battery. The battery, they said, I think it's about less than 1%, or I'm sorry, a little over 1% of the charge capacity of the iPhone 7.
Which is kind of funny.
It's fun, yeah. As far as the charge case, they speculated that might be the cause of the AirPod delay. So they did some x-rays on it and they saw some voids in the solder joints.
So from my understanding, from what they saw, it looked like they had been rushed together.
Yes. Or
they were, it was a rush build.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was something interesting. Who knows if anything would have come of it? Or I guess the other part is there have been issues with some people's AirPods, particularly with the charging case, reporting or actually seeing a significant battery drain.
Now, I'm curious if, because a lot of those people, they're getting those cases replaced. Apple's just giving them new ones.
Yeah.
I'm curious if iFixit were able to get a hold of one of those and give it the teardown, if they would find that the newer cases don't have those solder voids.
Yeah, or perhaps there were some actual breaks or something like that in the. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure, but you know, Apple is very easily replacing these, so you know, people are
happy. So if you're having a problem, just make your Genius Bar appointment, they'll take care of you.
Yeah. Let's see what else. Yeah, I think that's about it for AirPods. This was interesting from Sonny Dixon. We heard earlier in the year that I think this was from Mako Takara. They predicted a jet white color option for the iPhone 7. So Sonny Dixon, right. On the 27th, a couple days ago, posted a video saying, you know, is this the jet white iPhone 7? And so it showed an iPhone 7 and 7 Plus, at least looking device.
And the answer is no. It's fakety fake.
Okay, so that's what Jeff thinks. Why is it fake?
All right, so I went to Alibaba and found the white case.
Okay.
It's $50.
Cool, all right.
So you can get a replacement white body for your iPhone 7. It's white. It's $50. There you go.
Nice. Oh, and I forgot that. So this is.
I just totally took the wind out of your sails with that one. I'm really sorry about that because I know you really like white iPhones.
I do. Yeah. Oh man, I saw a white iPhone the other day, and I just every time I see one, I get white iPhone lust or white iPhone envy because I wanted a change. I wanted a change in my life with the iPhone 7. And sometimes a change is welcome, and sometimes I realize why I made that decision in the first place. So, yeah.
As long as they keep space gray around, I'm okay because I really love that gunmetal color.
Yeah. So yeah, no white iPhone 7. Although it does remind me of the iPhone 4 when they said that there was going to be a white iPhone, and it didn't come out for a very long time. That was interesting.
And I remember you getting an aftermarket white case or white body for yours. Mm-hmm. And as I recall, that started like cracking on you or something. I can't remember.
It was poor quality. I put it on the floor. Like I sat it down on the floor. And then when I picked it back up again, there was a giant crack across the screen.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was very cool. I was oddly very popular in, random locations, like in bars. And if someone saw me with it, they would go out of their way to ask me about it. So it was fascinating to a lot of people that I had it. So it was cool while it lasted. But yeah,
you know, so. I just realized that we were podcasting back then. We've been doing an iOS related podcast for a really long time, haven't we?
A couple years.
Wow, I didn't realize until just now. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I might have started the show before the second iPhone, before the 3G. It's very possible I started before the 3G.
Wow. Oh, good times.
Yeah. So yeah, no jet white iPhone. But from Sonny Dixon, he's predicting an iOS 10.3 beta with a theater mode on January 10th. He says it will include a popcorn-shaped control center icon.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, what the heck is that going to be, though?
I don't know.
He hasn't really given us much more information on it, but
it's, you know, I don't know. I keep coming up with little ideas that I'm about to spit out, and then I start stuttering because I realize, no, I'm talking about the TV app.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I don't know what Apple would have in store for that. But I do like popcorn. So I'm keeping an open mind.
Yeah, theater mode. And this literally just came out, so I haven't had much time to think about it. I'm sure I'll come up with a perfect theory as soon as we're finished here. This is pretty interesting. I believe it was from the Wall Street Journal. The iPhone 7, they claim, because of its lack of compelling features, most of the people affected by the Galaxy Note 7 issue just said "eh" to the iPhone and just got some other Samsung phone, which is kind of contrary to what a lot of people were expecting.
You know, it doesn't surprise me, though, because the people that were rushing to get that phone were people that want Samsung phones.
That's very true. Yeah.
So unless they were like really, really pissed off, like maybe their car burned down. Okay, that guy probably went and got an iPhone. But most of the other people, they probably went back where they got the phone at, you know, the Verizon store, the AT&T store, Best Buy, whatever, and said, I need to trade this in. And so they get another Samsung phone because that's what's right there.
Yeah. Well, and this was pretty interesting for me, because I've been traveling. I haven't traveled since this happened. But if you do get on a plane, you'll find very quickly that the reputation of Samsung is being publicly shamed by the FAA.
Oh, yeah.
Because they announce it they announce it twice. On every flight I took, it was two different times. They said, if you have a Samsung Galaxy 7, or a Note 7, that you like need to get the hell off this plane or throw it overboard.
Yeah, and don't forget there's the big signs that are up all around the airports saying that they're banned. And I've done a lot of flying over the past couple months on Southwest, and Southwest's iPhone app, there's an alert message for you every time you open the app, and it warns you you can't travel with the Note 7. And you read the message. Typically what happens when you read a message like that, your alert notice resets to zero. But for this, it resets to show you haven't read it. So it's always showing you have an unread message. And that's what the message is.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so I do think that, of course, Samsung's reputation has been damaged by this. Absolutely. And I actually had conversations with people who are not techie people when I went back home, some friends. You know, their minds are blown by this, and it's, I'm sure it's for people who just buy phones and they just kind of said, okay, I'll get a Samsung this time. They're probably not going to get a Samsung next time. Or if they were unsure, they're probably going to get an iPhone. Now the iPhone, as far as activations go this year or this, holiday season, it was 44% of all activations, while Samsung was came in second at 21%. Although Apple dropped from 49 last year, and Samsung went up from 19 last year. So
So I haven't looked at those numbers, so I'm not sure what that really means. Does it mean that Apple had fewer phones overall activated, or does it mean that the market has grown enough that even though Apple may have activated more phones, it's a lower percentage overall simply because the market is bigger?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
I don't know.
The analysis by the Wall Street Journal was that ultimately Apple didn't really do a lot of compelling stuff with this current generation phone. They didn't have any huge new breakthrough features. And at the same time, Samsung had the battery issue. So really, neither company did anything great this year. It was kind of a fold for both companies, because Apple didn't take advantage of it. And Samsung didn't take advantage of the fact that Apple didn't really have a big phone release. So it'll be interesting to see what the next iPhone looks like.
I think the iPhone 7 is a great phone. I'm really happy with mine.
Oh, sure it is. I'm not at all complaining. Oh, Apple should have done something better with the iPhone 7. I think it's a great phone.
Yeah. My point is that that there's so many people complaining about what Apple released, and yet at the same time, it's a really good phone.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think Apple fumbled with the iPhone 7. I think they released a really good phone. It's just there are some people where they had expectations that Apple wasn't going to meet, because that's not the path Apple's going down.
Well, and we're kind of, it's at the point where the smartphone is pretty mature now. And we've talked about this before, but there aren't these huge new features that you know, perhaps other companies are introducing that Apple is not. Mm-hmm. It's a refinement process at this point.
All right, so do you think that there's a feature that Apple could add to the iPhone that would be a holy crap sort of thing? Or Samsung or any of the other smartphone makers?
I like the idea of wireless charging. The only downside to wireless charging means that you have to have some kind of...
You still have to have wires.
You have to have a fancy puck. So if you had wireless charging, that would be cooler, but it would need to be wireless charging in addition to traditional charging, because I don't want to bring my weird wireless charging puck when I travel. I want to leave it where it is and take a wire, because I already carry a lightning cable in my bag, and I have a lightning cable on my keychain and that sort of thing. So, you know, with the Apple Watch, it's kind of a pain because you have to have another charging thing. You can't, you know, just charge your watch or just charge your phone. You have to have both of those things. So, there's nothing.
And people lose stuff like that. I just did. I did a trip to Philadelphia a few weeks ago, and a couple weeks ago, and I went to pull out my portable or my travel charger puck for my Apple Watch, so I could take it to Steamboat with me. It's gone. So I left it in the Airbnb in Philadelphia.
That sucks.
Totally sucks.
I did the same thing, except it was with a $10 bottle of face wash. So, and it was half empty.
You know, so yours hurts a little bit less.
Yeah, a little bit less. Yeah. But yeah, it happens. Anyhow. It's collateral damage. So, what do we have?
So I guess I'm with you then, because I'm not seeing any feature that any smartphone maker can add now that's going to make me sit back and just be blown away. And no, wireless charging is not a feature that I feel is going to be a make or break thing, or one of those things where I look at it and think, holy crap, this is so amazing. It's, to me, it's just another form of charging at this point.
Yeah, it'd be nice, but again, it's not a holy crap.
Yeah. All right, so this tells me that we can expect that people in general are going to be disappointed with every iPhone announcement moving forward for quite a while, until there's some amazing new technology that we don't know about yet that's just going to knock our socks off.
Yep, sounds about right.
All right, well, I'll keep enjoying my phones.
Yeah. Let's see here. So we did the white iPhone. Oh, so we're back to the iPhone, the next gen iPhone. Either we're calling it the iPhone 7S again, apparently, according to Mecca Takara. They believe that there's going to be a third option in the lineup. So there's going to be a 4.7, a 5-inch, and a 5.5-inch. And the 5-inch would be the, you know, medium size. I don't think we need that. I don't think anybody thinks we need that.
I don't think we need that either.
Really, I think if anything, people... I've seen a lot of people very happy getting the... what is it? The C? What am I thinking? The E?
The iPhone SE.
Thank you.
You had the right sounds. You just didn't have them in the right order.
Yeah, the SE. Lots of people I know are getting the SE, and they're very pleased with it. They love the smaller form factor. It's fast. They really like it. I don't think we need a 5-inch iPhone. However, Macintakara believes that there will be a 5-inch iPhone, and it will have dual lenses like the Plus, and it will be in a vertical arrangement instead of a horizontal arrangement. They also say things like OLED display, an all-new red color. And then, of course, the Ming-Chi Kuo believing that we're going to see all-glass casings.
Right.
I don't think people are looking for this 5-inch model, though.
I agree. But I have a feeling, Michael, that there's going to be a third size iPhone next year. And the reason I'm thinking that is because we have different sources saying that there's a third size iPhone coming. The discrepancy is we're seeing 5-inch and we're also seeing 5.8-inch as the sizes.
Mm.
So what I'm thinking is Apple may be planning to release a third size. It's just that right now we don't have the information to tell us what that size is.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm not sure we need to have a third size, which would technically be a fourth size because we have the SE and then we have the 4.7 and the 5.5-inch sizes that we already have.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely some.
But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I don't think we need another size.
Yeah, I do like the SE. That's a good phone.
The SE is a good phone. You know, Dave Hamilton, he prefers the SE. He has been a Plus user since the Plus size came out.
No way. He went from Plus to SE?
And he went to the SE and he's like, you know what? This is a lot better.
Huh.
Yeah. He likes the smaller size. It's easier to carry. It's more comfortable. And everything he really needs to do, he can do on that 4-inch screen.
That's pretty cool.
Kind of crazy, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, so Apple has filed a patent where they would take the haptic feedback for the watch and put it in the watch band.
Mm-hmm.
And this would apparently be to be able to make the watch thinner, offload that big linear actuator, put it in the band. Although, you know, I guess making the watch thinner would be nice. It would potentially
but
also...
But now you're married to a single band.
You're married to a single band. That's the biggest thing. So the band is going to be... Or you know, maybe not necessarily married to it, although Apple, of course, you know, they force you to buy the watch and band pairings that they have come up with. You can go do other ones if you want, but you can't specify what you want up front. So you'd have to spend at least another $50 on a watch band, right now, that is, without a haptic actuator in the band. So who knows how much that's going to cost if you would have to do that. Although the other benefit, in addition to making it thinner, would also be potentially making the haptic feedback more noticeable.
Do you have problems with the haptic feedback?
From time to time, yeah, but not really. I think I have more false positives than I do...
I have more false positives than anything else.
Yeah.
I'm really hard pressed trying to think of a time when I missed the haptic feedback, but there are times when I'll be walking along and I'll check my wrist because I thought I just got a tap and I didn't.
Yeah.
I have a hypothesis.
Okay.
And my hypothesis is that Apple patented this band because they don't want other people making it.
Huh.
My guess is that we're not going to see the haptic engine go to the band. And if you look at some of the stories we heard about the Apple Watch, the original design coming together, and the engineers saying, okay, so we're going to do this with the band, and Johnny Ive came back and said, nope, because that's not what normal people do when they wear a watch. And so they had to keep changing and modifying what they were doing with the designs to accommodate the way people normally the way average people are going to wear a watch, not the way a software engineer or a hardware engineer is going to design it. And I think Apple's going to stick with that philosophy, which tells me that we're probably not going to see a haptic engine in the band.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you on that.
Yeah, it's the fashion thing. Yeah. And haptic engine in the band doesn't work for fashion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's all I have. So I think it's time to do our picks. And Jeff, do you have a pick?
I do. Hold on. I have to fire up my iPhone so I can go back and look at what it was. And I just realized my pick was going to be something that we've already picked before.
Oh, that's fine.
We've talked about 1600, haven't we?
We did talk about that very recently. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, then I need to pick a different app real quick, which I can totally do because I just started playing with Brain.fm.
Okay, what's that?
Yeah. So it's an app that, and it's a service where you choose what it is that, or whatever the task is that you're doing right now. Like maybe you just need to relax, or you need to be focused on whatever task you're working on. So you tell the app, this is what I need to do, and then it plays music that is supposed to be conducive to helping you more effectively do whatever it is that you want to do. So it's not like it's choosing pop music or rock songs or classical music. It's this, I guess it'd be more like ethereal type ambient music, more like ambient that they've put together, and the music has been designed to trigger specific types of brain activity and brain patterns.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I know there's a little bit of is it magic or not? But there's a lot of science behind the impact that music has on our brain activity, and that's what they're going for with this.
Yeah.
So, so they have all these different things that you can choose, and it helps you focus. So it's like the right kind of music for whatever that you're going to be doing. And then there's other types of sounds, so like white noise sounds and stuff that you can choose from. And they have a trial that you can test out for free to make sure you like it. And then if you do, you can do a subscription, which it's like, I think I want to say it's like $39 for a year or something. And then they do like a lifetime subscription where it's like $140, and then you just got it for life. And
$140
for lifetime subscription.
What is the app called again?
So it's Brain.fm.
Okay.
So if you go to, that's also the website, brain.fm. So you can do it through a web browser. You can do it through the app on your iOS device as well. And the app's a free download.
Cool. I think I've heard of it. If not this app, I've heard of this sort of thing.
Yeah, there are other apps out there that have been doing this sort of thing. And this just happens to be the one that I got a hold of where I was like, oh, wow, this one's pretty cool. And prior to using this, what I used for my like background distraction sound to help me stay focused on what I'm writing on is Coffitivity.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I'm not even sure that. If Coffitivity is still around anymore, but it was coffee shop sounds.
Yeah. Yeah, coffitivity.com, C-O-F-F-I-T-I-V-I-T-Y, right?
Yeah, and Yeah, and they used to have like an iOS app and a Mac app, and the Mac app, if you ever got it, it still works. So I've just kind of moved it over from computer to computer as I've upgraded, and it hasn't broken yet, so I still use that. But Brain.fm, that's kind of cool. I'm liking it.
So the Brain.fm Pro. I'm sorry. What were the prices on that? It's a free download.
Yeah, it's a free download, and you can do some stuff with it for free. They also let you do a free trial where you can try everything out. And then there's one price point. It's like $39, and I can't remember how long that subscription runs at that price point. So I don't know if it's like 6 months or if it's a year. And then I know they also have a lifetime subscription, which is like $130 or $140. They have different levels. So you can sign up for like a couple months. You can sign up for a year. You can do the lifetime subscription. And I bet if I went and looked, it'd be really easy for me to find out.
Okay, here we go. I was just it brought up a weird foreign app store page. So you can get the Pro. It varies $699, $1599, $49.99. So
that's
different amounts of time.
Okay, so I was kind of close-ish on the pricing.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So Brain.fm. There'll be a link to it in the show notes. So my pick is mine's a simple one, but it's fun. It's Atari. I believe it was right before Christmas they released the original Roller Coaster Tycoon for iOS.
Oh, what an awesome pick.
For $6, you get iPhone/iPad version. It's, you know, RCT classic like you had on your Windows 95 computer. It never came to the Mac, right? It was never a Mac app.
I don't think so. There was one of the roller coaster apps for the games for the Mac, but I don't think this was it.
Yeah, so it's pretty awesome. So you can do all that. It's classic graphics and everything. It's very nostalgic, and it's an awesome game. It's really fun. I have the current the Roller Coaster Tycoon 3 also, which you know, you can get that for your iPad, and you can do a lot of fun stuff. It's actually cheaper, $3 for RCT3, but the Classic is $5. Classic's great, so get that. Check it out. It's a huge game.
Cool.
You can do all kinds of stuff with this thing. So with that, you can find all of our picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show in iTunes. Rate the show with a star. Tell a friend who you think may like it. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback to send us, feedback at theiosshow.com is email address to which you can send all that stuff. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. And Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, TMO Daily Observations podcast every weekday. And he's at Jay Gamet on Twitter.
And it's always just so much fun to do this show.
Yeah, I'm glad you've been doing it with me for like so many years.
I know. I hadn't even thought about how long we'd been doing this until today, and wow, that's really cool.
It's been a minute. So,
and a whole minute.
And I think Adam might I'm hoping he'll be back next week. He's doing fun stuff, so.
Yeah, and good for him. I'm going to be at CES next week.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Michael, I'll be at CES next week.
Cool. I'll write that down.
Yeah.
I'll plan for that. I'm guessing you won't be around for recording.
No.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I'll be in Vegas the whole week.
All right. It'll be the Adam and Michael show. Okay. So with that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. And an internet. And an internet.
The stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. Who wants a stylus? They have to get them and put them away.